So, talking about the dwelling in booths, and then the next is regarding harvesting the fruit from the trees, and they rejoiced over that harvest. And that's replaced by God's children becoming fruitful, and by God collecting His fruitful offspring to Himself. And He'll rejoice over that fruit, which will be the saints of God. So in each one of these, we see it being replaced. We see it being fulfilled. So that with Passover, see that with Pentecost, see that also with these different facets of tabernacles. Now at the seventh new moon, they blew the trumpets all day long. And it was to announce good news. It was to announce that the Day of Atonement, as well as the Feast of Tabernacles, was at hand. And they were to prepare for it. And they're also being called to enter into it. Especially into the atonement. They were to be entering into this at-one-ment. And then the Day of Atonement was followed by the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, see, the whole thing, and in particular here, the idea of the Feast of Atonement is that it's a feast of unity, of unifying. And so you have the blowing of the trumpets is calling the people to this, so it's calling them to assemble and then to carry out these feasts. So there's assembly and then there's a uniting. And then it's also they're going to rejoice over the ingathering of this fruit. So it's a feast of joy. In total, when you talk about it as trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles, the whole thing is a feast of unity, it's a feast of assembly. It's also a feast of joy, because of the ingathering of the harvest. It's also a feast of joy because the sins are forgiven for the past year. That's also what's involved with the feast of this part on atonement, the Day of Atonement, sins being forgiven. It's also a feast of dwelling in the booths. And then that's going to be culminated by moving back into permanent dwelling places. It's also a feast of rest, because it culminates their agricultural year. It culminates in rest. It's also a feast of the high priest appearing. And here is the presence of the high priest. He comes. He goes into the Holy of Holies, and then he reappears. And that speaks of Christ. It speaks of God. And then when the feast was carried out in the year of Jubilee, it speaks of full restoration. But it never has been carried out in the Feast of Jubilee, in the year of Jubilee. So there never has been full restoration. I don't know how some of these things are going to really happen in the millennium. I don't know exactly if there's going to be a year of Jubilee in the millennium and then a Feast of Tabernacles that goes along with it. I don't know. We do know that he talks about the Feast of Tabernacles in the millennium. So we don't know how these other things will be carried out. Now, when we see all these things that Jesus foretold that would come to pass in the last days, He then tells us to unbow ourselves and lift up our heads and rejoice. It's to be rejoicing. This we will and can do because we've come to the antitype of the Feast of Tabernacles. The trumpets will be blowing. There will be the at-one-ment. The fruit will be coming to its full fruition. We'll be in a place where we can do this. Right now, we couldn't do it. If we were right now living in the time that we're going to find ourselves in, and based on our present spirituality, or maybe better said, lack thereof, and God said for us to unbow ourselves and lift up our heads, we couldn't do it. We wouldn't have the strength to do it. We wouldn't have the ability to do it. We're not in a sufficient place in God to be able to do it at this point. We need God to really do a lot to make us ready for that. We're not ready for it. We need God to be the lifter up of our heads. Now, in order for that to be true, we have to be in a place of dependence. We have to be in a place of trust. We have to be in a place of faith. We have to be in a place where we can rejoice in tribulation. We don't do real well in tribulation, as far as rejoicing in it. Even to the point of leaping for joy. And being, in a right way, rejoicing that we've been accounted worthy to suffer for His namesake. There's a lot of tests and trials and difficulties that come our way that we count it as strange. We don't understand it. We don't want it. We more or less reject it. God is going to have to mature us. There needs to be a maturing here. And we can talk about a lot of these things, but as far as living them out, we still find a number of them to be very difficult to live out. We don't do real well on some of them. As we approach the fulfillment of the last feast, see, as we're getting closer and closer, we know that our pilgrim life is about over. It's almost over. Our looking for another city built without hands is about over. Our going home to the land of our true citizenship is near. We're able to go to that place of our true citizenship. It's very near. Our life in these fleshly tents is about over. To dwell in these booths for 7 days, that speaks about these tents of flesh as well. That's about over. Our life of wandering in circles in the wilderness is about over. Because they didn't celebrate this feast until they were in the land of Canaan. It was never celebrated as they're out in the wilderness. Only when they're in Canaan. Our life of temptation is about over. As we see this feast approaching. Our life of being tested is just about over. See, as the fruit is developing, there's all sorts of storms. There's wintertime. There's all sorts of things that happen. It's very difficult. You've got the crop being planted in the fall. There's a winter time. And then it's in the spring that it's harvested. There's testings. There's temptations. It's just about over. As this crop is really developing and it's just about time to harvest it, this life of tests is just about over. This life of where we're laboring to bring forth a man-child, it's just about over. To bring forth this bride without spot or wrinkle, it's just about over. Our desire to be joined with Christ, to really be one with Him, that's about to be fulfilled. It's just about to happen. Now, it's not going to happen in the next few months. We don't know whether we're talking about something 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years off. We don't know exactly. But we're seeing more and more the restoration of all things is going to be at hand. Just about ready. We need to keep trusting God and keep believing God. That's what we need to be speaking to one another. If this was about to occur, let's say it's just 6 months off, I don't think we could get ready for it. I don't think we could get prepared. Whether it's 5 years or 15, though, we don't know. We need the time. We need to take the time that is available and use it. We do need to do that. Don makes a lot of other points, and so I don't know if you were there at that camp meeting and want to add that to your notes. You might want to do that. The Day of Trumpets is a day of faith in God's promises to come. The trumpets blow, but yet there isn't the Day of Atonement, and the harvest, it's signaling the ingathering, but yet you don't have the full ingathering yet. It's saying it's time for the ingathering. So it's really, it's still speaking of things that are yet to come. They're going to come to pass shortly. But since it hasn't fully come yet, they don't have the harvest in yet, it's saying that it's a day of faith in God's promises. And those promises are to come. They will come to pass. And to blow the trumpets and to signal this without it fully, it isn't that the crop is in and then they blow the trumpets. They blow the trumpets before the crop is in. See, it's an act of faith. And they haven't had the Day of Atonement yet, but they blow the trumpets as an act of faith. They haven't dwelled in the booth 7 days and then returned to their permanent dwelling places. So it's another act of faith. So it's a day of faith in God's promises to come. As we're blowing the trumpets, that's an act of faith in God's promises to come. If we lose faith in God's promises, we won't blow the trumpets. We won't do it. On the Day of Trumpets, they entered into a special Sabbath rest. So there was rest. They also assembled to the tabernacle to read the law. They also assembled there to worship. They offered burnt offerings. So it was a special Sabbath. And they went to the tabernacle to read the law, to have the law read to them. They also went there to worship, and they made burnt offerings. There were no sin offerings. That was already accomplished. In other words, they weren't to look back to Passover and like water baptism and Pentecost. They weren't to look back on those things. No sin offerings. Nothing. They weren't to, as it were, deal all over again with the remission of sins. It's what he talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, where he says, "But leaving the doctrine of baptism," and he mentions a couple of other things, "going on to perfection." It says it's time to go on to perfection. It's to go on to that final place that God has for us. See, they were to be concerned about a total life of surrender, not washing from sin. That was already to be taken care of. They were to be concerned about fellowship in heavenly places, not their legal position in Christ. They're to be concerned about moving into things experientially, not where they were at legally. They were to be concerned about perfection of God's new man, not justification through rising from immersion. So he was to really go on to perfection. That's what he wanted for them. That's what he desired for them. Now, he also has some information from Exodus chapter 23 and verse 15. And this talks about unleavened bread. That is Passover. And we'll take a moment and read that. Exodus chapter 23. And verse 15. "Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread." It's talking about Passover. "Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest." The feast of harvest is Pentecost. "The first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field." It's the wheat harvest. "And the feast of ingathering." Ingathering, that's tabernacles. "Which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field." So there's unleavened bread, there's the harvest, there's ingathering. Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles. Now, as far as the actual day for the Feast of Trumpets, it was the first day in the 7th month of the religious year. First day, and that was in the 7th month of the religious year. Atonement was the 10th day of this 7th month. And then the Feast of the actual Tabernacles was the 15th through the 21st, which was called the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles. So first day, 10th day, and then 15th through the 21st. Let's see what else. Well, he goes one other thing that Don does, which I'm not going to take time to do, is he goes through John chapter 7 and makes a number of comments there. And then he also makes a number of comments from the Song of Solomon. And you can just note for your own reference, Song of Solomon chapter 7, verses 10 to 13. Song of Solomon 7, verses 10 to 13. Also chapter 4, verse 16. He also makes reference to Isaiah 51, verse 3. Isaiah 51, verse 3. And then the last thing that he makes reference to is Leviticus chapter 23, verses 39 and 40. So Leviticus 23, verses 39 and 40. And this is where it talked about the palm trees, the willow, the branches, the different branches that were used. And so that's what he says about it. And he just continues to make applications to the church developing and things that we're to be looking forward to in the plan of God. And that is all that I have. And so that will take care of our class. So.
Thanks, Carol.
Sure. Welcome.